The Big Three. Our next guest argues that there are three big financial goals that often come together at almost the same time: retirement savings, kids' education, and mortgage paydown. For people without a pension, and there are many of us out there, these competing interests can be very tough to manage. Kurt Rosentreter is a CA and senior financial advisor at Manulife Securities. He joins us now. Hello there.
Hello there.
The Big Three.
Yes.
And you say they come together at around age 50, even though people have probably been working on them for a while: mortgage, kids, retirement. What is life like for a 50-year-old facing these circumstances?
You wake up in the morning on a Sunday, look at each other in bed and say, holy smokes, honey.
Yeah.
George down the street's retiring next week. Where are we at with that? Two, if you got married around 30, had your kids around 32, they're going to university when you're 50. And like you say to each other, how much is that going to cost? And is that RESP going to do it? And three, you reflect on your mortgage and you say, our folks were debt free by now. And so boom, 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 around 50, life's three big financial adventures hit us all in the face.
And you yank the covers back over your head and hope you can fall back to sleep.
That's what most people
most
are doing.
People
until
do
they
that.
Run into me.
Right. And then they're a client of yours and they're like, ah, Kurt, well, that's
no,
alone.
No, Bruce. We give them a roadmap and a dashboard to figure out what to do.
Oh, my God. You're a deluded optimist just like me. You reference fake financial advisors. What do you mean by that?
Oh, Canada's full of salespeople that just push product, hide their fees, give you no value, give you no service. Fortunately, the country's woken up to the fact that these people have no place, and hopefully the public embraces, you know, advisors that provide value for a fair fee.
So this retirement conundrum, one of the things, and you wrote a piece on this, one of the things that you reference, which I think is hilarious as a parent of a nine-year-old, is the question, how long will you financially support your children? It is a very tough question because there are children, and it is very easy, you know, to say that you're going to cut them off at 18 or 25 or 35, but then they're gorgeous and they're dependent and they're whatever, whatever. I also think it was easier for my dad to cut us off because he had six kids. So there was just no way he could support us all. But I only have one, and she's going to come to me and say, please, Papa, please.
Yeah, nobody says they're going to cut them off, first of all. That's the first myth. It just kind of flows, right? And you love your kids. And it's just, though, that when they're 30 and they're still living at home and they're eating the meat out of your fridge and it's you're paying their cell phone bill and there's not even an incentive for them to get a job. And I know it's hard for kids. You know, it's real estate's tripled in value and their paychecks haven't. You know, people are working longer and kids can't get the jobs from the older folks. But at the same time, you know, I got to take care of you. And at some point, they got to move on and you got to face facts.
Have you had that conversation in that way with clients?
I've seen this in so many different angles. I've seen kids that abuse the parents and steal the money from them. I see kids that beg for it. I see parents that stick it in their pockets. They run through. Like, you see it from every angle, right? And because I'm the neutral financial guy, I'm not emotionally tied to the family. I'm not one of the brothers and sisters because the kids don't always agree either. Right. Don't even get me into the different dynamics when one kid's getting money from the others and the others are not.
Right.
It's hard because you love your kids, to your point, and so parents will go out of their way to help them. The craziest thing I'm seeing now, particularly in the big cities in Canada, because my practice is all over, is parents that are sacrificing their retirement to give away their retirement savings so the kids can buy a home for the first time.
Right. They're underwriting the down payment. That's very, very common. Very, very common. One of the other things you say, this is a contentious phrase, downsizing is a lie. Now, I want your perspective on this because a lot of people, especially those who live in these expensive real estate pockets, see their net worth has risen dramatically. Yeah. And a large part of them thinks, hey, that's going to be really helpful to me when it's time for me to put groceries in my fridge when I'm 85.
I'll even go further and say it's become the excuse of why they don't need to save. So, you know, everyone's had been successful in real estate if you've been in at least 10 years in Canada. You'll eventually pay off your mortgage because the bank makes you. The challenge is when you're 58 and it's time to retire and your RSPs are too small to support the spending. And I'm calculating that and showing you often for the first time. Here's what you spent last year. Here's what you want to spend. It comes down to the house and unlocking the value tied up in the house. And the problem with that is that number one, people don't often want to sell. Number two, they don't want to move anywhere that's significantly cheaper. Moving down the street to the condo that costs as much as your house is pointless. So when I say you're moving far, far away to, you know, a much cheaper jurisdiction, they say, no way. And so It's something where when I do retirement planning now for people in their 40s and 50s and they say, well, factor in downsizing of the house, it's like, no way, you're lying to me. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You need all those bedrooms for the grandchildren, so just keep it.
All the stock market will bring you in retirement is stress.
Yes.
You say, what are you saying to all those BNN Bloomberg watchers out there?
I'm a stockbroker.
And my
team are money managers. So I'm saying that here's the reason I say that. The stock market can do a lot of good things too, but here's the problem. Too many people are retiring with too little money. And so when you tell them that you're 75 years old and you should be in GICs, because that's what they've told us for 100 years, they're nice and safe, but they only pay 3%. And then they say, I can't live on 3% because I got big expectations on my lifestyle, Kurt. And I say, okay, what do you want to do? Oh, put me in the stock market, roll the dice, buy me marijuana stocks. Maybe not that last part. But the fact of the matter is, when you've got a significant gap, here's the point. When you've got a big gap between your guaranteed income sources, CPP, OAS, your GIC interest, your hydro pension, your wife's teacher's pension, but you got a gap between that and what you actually spend, and the difference has to be made up by your investment savings. A lot of Canadians have a big gap, and they're relying on the stock market for food.
Mm.
That's not good.
You have outlined many of the problems that people at that phase in their life may be facing. If they aren't today, then will be down the road. What are some of the solutions? What are some things that people should be doing, should be thinking about now?
Starting in your 40s, I'll give you your 30s to get life organized. Get a job, have kids, buy a home, get it all squared away. But by the time you're 40, you need to start quantifying and having a written plan on where you're going. In other words, it's not just good enough to put money into your RRSP or your child's RESP or pay down your debt. You need to know mathematically where that's going to take you. The vast majority of Canadians are simply throwing money against a wall, hoping it goes up, but they have no end game. They don't know what they need. They don't know how much school is going to cost for the kid. They don't know when they'll be debt free. And I'm saying you need to create the end game first and work backwards. So do you need $3 million to retire? $1.5 million? Do you need $150,000 for kids' education or $75,000? How do you know what to save if you don't even know what you're saving dollar for dollar for? And that's what they need to do. And interestingly enough, I sit down with dozens of people a month. No one's doing that. They're just saving with the broker down the street, hoping it'll go up, and they never ask questions. No one focuses on their goals. No one quantifies their goals, and they think that they're going to get ahead. They're in for a rude awakening.
So I listened to your conversation, and I have two reactions of the same magnitude. One is, woo, let's go, let's get on this. And the other is abject terror, like frozen. I am going to crawl under the desk of this radio studio and weep quietly to myself. How do you help the people for whom this terror equals frozen?
I think this is an interesting point because there's a lot of people that never want to confront this and would rather just watch Dancing with the Stars forever.
That's a great show.
Sure. And so sitting down with someone like me that's going to say potentially some of your financial goals may not be achievable, and or help you to prioritize the difference between helping your kids versus retirement versus being debt-free, which is all the stuff we would do and you need to do. It's hard. It's tough medicine sometimes. But would you rather have the tough medicine or would you rather have your head in the sands and just hoping it's going to work out knowing it won't? And I'll let me even complicate this more because the dynamics between a husband and a wife or a couple are even more interesting because so often in family dynamics, one person of the household manages the family finances. I've been more in a few conversations where they're at the retirement finish line, they're 60 to 65, they're sitting down with me for the first time because I demand I see both spouses.
Right.
But so they're both there and I'm doing the number crunching. I'm saying, hey guys, you can retire, but your vacations will be camping. There'll be no Paris. And she or he looks at the other and said, you've managed our finances for 40 years and a stranger is telling me now you're a disaster and how you managed it?
Right.
Oh, you want to see a fight? Put me in front of them. Yeah. But the good news is I can also calm it down. But the fact of the matter is that I don't think head in the sand works for anybody. It just leads to disappointment and worse, you know, 30 years of retirement with no money.
You mentioned cannabis. Clearly, that's where I need to go now that this interview is done. Never smoked in my life. I'm going to start today. Kurt, thank you very much.
You're welcome.